Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is the, what is today?
The ninth.
Right. Yeah, it's actually my cousin's birthday. That's why I do that. Yeah, so okay. I gotta call him. I'm not going to talk about what we just talked about. We have a separate conversation offline. But Naima brought up, one of y'all said Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mentioned.
And you know, what clicked in my head is I saw online 2 weeks ago. His real name is Charles Edward Cheese.
Yes, Charles
Entertainment.
I didn't know that. Entertainment Cheese. I never knew that.
Yeah,
I never knew that till like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I was like, oh shit. Yeah, I was like, oh, I thought it was just Chucky.
Charles Entertainment Cheese. I still open. Showbiz first or Chucky? I think it was Showbiz first and then Chucky.
It depends on where you were in the country. We had Showbiz first, I think.
Are they still open? Or are they gone?
Chucky Cheese is open. I haven't seen a Showbiz since like
I haven't
the
seen 80s. A Showbiz in ages, but Chucky's still open.
So listen, I went to Chuck E. Cheese for a kid's birthday party on a holiday weekend. What was it? Columbus Day weekend on a Saturday. Let me tell you how hell. Like that. There's no other way to describe, just absolute hell. It was terrible for me. Kids had the time of their lives.
Of eating that nasty pizza.
Y'all know what they need to bring back? They need to bring back McDonald's Playlands so you can have your birthday parties there. Them shit used to be lit.
They got them. Well, they have them all in Colorado Springs. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A got them too. The New York ones. Chick-fil-A got them too?
Chick-fil-A has a dope indoor playground.
I knew Chick-fil-A had like playgrounds. I didn't know they did parties there.
Yeah. You can do anything. You could get married in a Chick-fil-A. I'm sure they would work it out for you. They are very accommodating.
But McDonald's used to have like a whole section and they had the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Character that's dressed up is terrifying and I stand behind that.
I agree with that now.
And especially Charles Entertainment Cheese. He is fucking terrifying.
Which one had the band that came out? Was that
Chuck E. Cheese?
I can see that band is scary.
Where they were kind of
automatronic
the robot.
Man, that them niggas is scary.
With the giant eyes that were blinking to the music. That's terrifying.
What solidified my fear of characters was over the last decade in Times Square. Random ass bootlegs.
Those musty ones. Dirty ones.
Like they be musty cheap.
About the ones in Times Square, like they'll just randomly take they'll take their heads off too, randomly.
Yeah,
take a break and drink some water.
Yeah, but like right out there, they'll
hide. Drinking liquor or something.
They'll be like right there, like drinking a Snapple with Barney with no head.
They're mad aggressive. The outfits,
the costumes are always like a little bit matted or something.
Yeah, they're like dingy, matted, like this synthetic material. And it's like, you know who they are? They're the characters that we be seeing go viral because they had a kids' party twerking or fighting or some shit like that.
That's
them, yeah.
They're scary as hell.
I guess peace
they
to
will
them,
run up on you. They will run up on you.
Yeah, they be demanding you take a picture.
It's a horror
shout out to Chuck E. Cheese.
So I wanted to mention real quick, have y'all started watching the holiday movies yet?
I've been on that since like October. I love Christmas.
I did one that was really cute. That was what you call it? It was which Wayans? Marlon Wayans.
Oh, he got
and
one.
Kelly from Destiny's Child on Netflix.
Oh, really?
It's super cute
on Netflix.
I think it's Netflix.
I think it was a Lifetime movie. The one, Merry Little Christmas Baby.
No, not one of the cutesy ones. This one it has something to do with, or was that a Halloween? No, it was a Halloween movie. Never mind. But I haven't started some holiday movies. I haven't gotten into all the black ones yet.
I only do the black ones.
But I did watch one. There is a new update. You know, everybody got to do an update on A Christmas Carol. And Will Ferrell and Ryan Gosling.
Spirited.
Oh, how was that?
That shit was excellent.
So good.
I loved it.
So good.
And I hate musicals. You know that about me.
Yeah, but I thought
it was very good.
Yeah.
It's really
good. I'm a fan of both. Anyway, yeah, so. I'm a fan of both of them. So I know.
Yeah, it's on Apple TV. Too. It's great. And then
it's a great take on it. Yeah,
it is. This movie is old, but it's called Claws, and I'd never seen it before. And it's an animated movie. It's like the origin story of how the myth of Santa Claus got started. And it's funny. It's a kids movie, but it's funny and it's really good. I think it's a couple years old, but I saw it for the first time with the kids last weekend. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. I watched, of course, Santa Claus the movie from 1985 with Tim Allen. No, that's the Santa Claus.
Okay.
So, Santa Claus the movie is Dudley Moore plays an elf who's
Oh, that one. Oh, wow. You took that it there?
That's my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Okay.
I watched it. It's finally on like Hulu. Right. So, I watched it like three times so far.
There's a sequel to The Christmas Story out. Don't watch it.
It's whack.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Ralphie looks, I mean, it's funny to say, but he looks weird as an adult. As an adult, he looks weird.
Yeah, he's weird. And, like, you know what it... I kept trying to put my finger on what was different because they try to call back a lot of the stuff from the original movie, some of the bits and stuff like that. What's different is that the reason A Christmas Story was so, had you so into it is because it's the kid's perspective told all the urgency of a life and death
of a 9-year-old, right? Yeah.
And now it's an adult voice, and it's like, whatever, nigga.
We don't care.
Yeah, it's like we don't care. Like what? Like let me tell it from your kid's perspective. Also, your kids ain't going through the existential crisis that you were going through.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing is that there is a kid going through an existential crisis over this fucking BB gun. That's the whole thing. It's like
now is the one dramatic. is the new one set in now?
They go back to the house.
But it's now.
Yes. Well, no. It's meant to be like 20 years after Christmas. Still like the 80s.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was gonna say that was in the '40s. The original one was
or sixties. So it's like the '60s, early '70s. Wow. Whenever it's 20 years later. No, I think Christmas Story was in like the '50s. So it's 20 years later. 20-30 years.
Okay.
Later.
Okay. Yeah.
So. And Ralphie's married. He has two kids. And his this isn't a spoiler. His father dies at the top of the movie, so they go back.
Oh. Okay.
For Christmas, they go back to the house for Christmas, and he has to come back into. You know, with the bullied kids who are now adults and they got their own kids and there's a whole, you know, mall scene. Christmas
is the mother still alive?
The mother's alive. Okay. So they tried to hit some of the same beats, shopping for the tree, car breaking down, shit like that, but it just didn't hit the same because it's an adult voice, which changes the entire energy of the movie. Yeah.
I watched LaToya Luckett and Finesse Mitchell. They got a joint on BET.
I think I saw an ad for that.
Of course, it's on BET. Of course, I only watched the black joints. And there was another one on BET. I forget who was in that
Finesse
one. I watched that too.
Mitchell.
Yeah, Lord. Jasmine Guy's got one on BET too. So I'm going to tap into that at some point.
Jasmine Guy's a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
I think I watched that.
Yeah, a new one. Yeah, so you know.
So, yeah, I watched another one. There's one on Netflix that was like on the front of my page forever. And it's The Noel Diary. I think it's in the top 10. But it stars, what's his face? From This Is Us. The fine one. Not the black dude.
Oh, the one who plays the actor twin.
Yeah.
Justin Adam on Young and the Restless. I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it's with like a black girl. The ending pissed me off though, because it's like all this buildup. And then you don't get the like, kiss you and whatever.
Yeah,
it just kind of ended.
You get that with the Toya Luckett joint. You get that.
But really good movie. I was into it. Until like the last 5 minutes.
Because I'll forget by the time we get there. I have two non-Christmas beats of programming I just need to mention because I haven't mentioned them yet.
I wasn't going to TV next anyway, so.
Okay. One was on Hulu. I don't know. I can't remember if we talked about it, but this... black show Reasonable Doubt about the lawyer. Have you not watched
it? Oh, yeah.
He did not talk about it, but I love that.
I was so late good. To it. I binged it like the week before the finale and then got into the finale. So good.
Incredible sex scenes in that.
Yeah, incredible sex. Kerry Washington, executive produced. Really great. It's Michael Ealy and I can't remember the chick's name who's the lead and some other
folks. Emma Yahtzee.
Yeah,
don't start lying on her.
Something that I will might accidentally mispronounce, and she's dope. She reminds me of a young Angela Wimbush, actually.
She's gorgeous too. She killed it.
But like, she's this really dope criminal attorney. Oh, and Sean Patrick Harris. Is
y'all seen the trailers for this? But I haven't actually watched it.
Really well written. There is this scene, like some of the scenes are just so real. There's this scene where they just punished. They're estranged. She and her husband are estranged. They just punished their son. And they took away his phone. And they're sitting smoking because they're trying to work things out. And she said, did you see that little nigga's face when we took away his phone? And they just start falling out laughing. Like, they are just dying laughing over because she had also taken the doorknob off his door. And she was like, he can make shadow puppets through the hole in his door. He was like, I forgot that nigga ain't got no door. And they just laugh. Like, it's just such a funny moment to see, it's like, great. Parents laughing at their kids. But it's really good. The twists and turns, the suspenseful. I'm excited for a second season, but it was dope. The second is Laura. I forgot that fast. See, this is why I had to say it now. Y'all go ahead. It'll come back. Oh, all right, cool. No, I remember. The second, this is a white one, but it's also Hulu. It's called what's the boy's name? Somebody Has a Problem. Oh, what's the last name?
Kaminsky. I'm watching that too.
Yeah, it's
good.
It's really good. It's about this guy who's going through a divorce, a really, really ugly divorce. And
the actor who played Zuckerberg in The Social Network.
I see old boy's face. I see his face too. That's all right. I forget that dude's name. He's dope.
Yeah, but it's really, is it Fleckenstein Has a Problem? Feinstein Has a Problem?
Yeah, it's just Fleischbaum.
Fleischman has a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to our Jewish listeners. I didn't mean to just start throwing out random Jewish names, but Fleischman
very has a black. Problem. I enjoyed it.
I know. Mm-hmm. Fleischman has a problem. It's excellent because they're telling the story of their marriage and their breakup through flashbacks. And we actually have not yet seen the wife in real time, which is wild. Because there are all that's going on, but it's just really well done and really compelling and also really great writing in my opinion. So yeah.
Claire Danes plays the wife, and I think the kids are kind of the stars of that show for me. They are killing.
They are killing
little kids. Yeah.
You didn't watch it. I wanted to mention Southside premiered yesterday.
Oh, it's back.
I forgot.
Yesterday. Fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I love that show.
Oh my God! There's no beat. They just pick right up, and it's
I love
two.
That show.
They put out two episodes, and they're both hilarious. So just watch that. Abbott Elementary was a really great episode this week.
With that Christmas episode,
the Christmas episode, it was outstanding. I love they went outside the school, really kind of for the first time.
Shout out to the costume designers who made Janine Teague into like a bae.
Sexy, kind of sexy words.
And then for Tyler, messed his name up.
Tyler Michael, what's going
on? Michael Tyler.
Yeah, sure. Everybody loves Chris.
Yeah, right. Gregory. Gregory had on at the club this almost sheer like waffle knit white sweater and just a simple gold rope chain, and I was like, whoever did that made him look like it was perfect. It was like the nigga in the club I would approach, simple, like very sexy, it was perfect. So
they killed
shout
it
out to them. Killed
they
it.
Killed it. It was a great storyline piece to Vince Staples, who I think might be like a recurring Staples.
And Andre Iguodala.
That threw me. I was like, is that Iggy? That was, shit.
Surprise.
I think this might be a recurring character now, kind of.
That
like,
would be cool.
Because I was interested in the two to see Gregory's friend. You know, we never saw like a friend of his, you know, and like a person he would hang out with, you know.
I love getting to know these characters. I'm really excited I hope we get to see like Barbara's like kitchen.
I really yeah.
the episodes. I would love that.
Yeah,
they get, yeah, so, go to church.
Yeah. Barbara's house. I would love to see Barbara's house.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get there.
She got some doilies. I know she got a plastic runner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Janine's house looks exactly like I thought it would.
Like it would. Cluttered. Yeah, we saw that when she was sick last
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a great episode, and like them when they finally danced together, it was like dope. But then, you know, Gregory still's dating Amber, who's fine as hell, right. by the way. Like, I'm like, nigga, like,
where did they find her?
Don't fuck that up, you know what I'm saying? So, like, this is a great show, man. It's so good.
And like Janine's friend, and like Janine's hair was straight, and like,
yeah, exactly. She straightened her hair out and all that, you know. And it's an interesting interview with Quinta and Oprah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, it's good. She just kind of, and you know, you can see, I mean, not surprisingly, Quinta, there's a lot of real thought that goes into the show when she talks
about. Well, you can tell that because you can tell that from even just like the tie-ins that they do. Like, for example, they spent their entire Emmy campaign, the Emmy consideration campaign on supplies for Philly Public Schools.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's dope, though. That's super dope. That's
very dope. Like, yeah. She's for real about this. And that's why I think that's why the show shines so brightly, is because they're not just playing it
for like laughs comedic and effect. Shit.
Like, they really want to communicate, like, how tough it is to be in a public school
system. Yeah. And Barbara is actually based on Quinta's mother.
Her mom was a teacher.
That character is based on her mom, and it was just a good interview. You should check it out when you get a chance. I watched 1.5, almost 2 of the first episodes of Harry and Meg.
I'll tell you how I fell asleep.
I don't think I care enough about them to watch this.
It is okay. So, you know, I'm here for all things like royals. Glamour, royals. I love it. It's very, you know, colonialism aside, I think it's a fascinating institution.
Right. I agree with that.
Let me just say, Meghan Markle is not a Black woman. And I'm going to get some heat for that.
I was about to say that. Culturally,
biracial. Not a Black woman. Yeah.
But she talks about in the thing. That and her mother, who threw me because I don't know why.
Her mother was
I thought her mother was going to have a West Indian accent. I don't know because I know she's
Jamaican. Because she has braids. That's why.
Yeah, and then when she's talking,
she's talking.
I'm like, she's a California, you know, girl. Right. I'm like, this is weird. But her mom is definitely Black. But they both talked about her mom says she regrets never having the conversation with Meghan about being a Black woman. So Meghan says the first time she realized she was a Black woman was like right now.
Right.
She didn't think about race at all.
She pledged a white sorority. Her first husband was white. She hung out white people. And I mean, the thing is that, no, culturally, Meghan Markle did not grow up as a Black woman at all. But I guess this is also kind of like the line that Black people talk about, where it's like, yeah, she may not have grown up as a Black woman, but as soon as them fucking white Brits saw her, she was Black as fuck.
Absolutely. And so that's what's thrown from the beginning. I'm having seen it, but I think that's what's kind of thrown her. She's like, almost like, wait, why are you not accepting me? I'm white.
kind of,
you know what I'm saying? She's like, why are you? She's like, she's tripping, like, why you, you know, it's interesting.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I love her. I think she's she's educated. I love her activism. She seems like a sweet girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous, all these things. Right. But I need her to kind of come to this world, I guess. I don't know where she's been.
I feel like she started here and went away. Because even wasn't her character on Suits biracial?
Yes.
Her father on the show is black as fuck.
Pierce, yeah.
That's where I have a problem with people who say she's passing, because she's never
she's not white, she's never presented herself.
Yeah, she's never presented herself as anything but biracial.
She's white identifying, culturally.
But she is white identifying culturally. But she's never presented herself as anything. She's never tried to hide the fact that she had, like, her mama be with her all the time. She never tried to hide the fact that she has a white parent. She, you know, like I said, her character was biracial. She's never tried to present herself as anything but biracial, even if she hasn't identified as a black woman, she had always been forthright about being a biracial woman. You know what I mean? So,
and if Harry talks about in the, again, I'm only like almost two episodes in, but Harry talks about, you know, his, he does, you know, activism. He's been going back and forth to Africa forever, and he's very close with this one guy. I can't remember his name in Africa. They're like brothers.
Prince of Lesotho.
Yes, Lesotho. Yes,
and I cannot remember his name.
For but they're like super tight or something like that. They're super tight, and Harry has done, you know, he's been to Africa basically every year since he was a teenager, like doing stuff. And for like 3 months at a clip. So he's really there, you know. But he says when things with Meghan hit, it like woke him up. He was like, I thought I was kind of woke, I guess, or aware. Yep. Just aware of racism and stuff. And he's like, but when this hit, I was like, I've been like kind of floating through life, not realizing how real shit is, you know, until... Well, this, so I find it so far a good documentary. I mean, I know people are kind of tired of him, and they did the Oprah interview and stuff. I find it so far so good.
It's just boring. I might watch it
eventually. Are you watching the season of The Crown, Inga?
I watched it already, yeah.
How is it?
It's great. It's playing Diana.
I was so wrapped up in The Crown, and now I'm like, I don't want to know. You know why? Because they're on Charles and Di. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to get back into it. Because I'm like, I grew up. So, I think you witnessed all the Diana stuff in real time.
Oh, yeah.
It's exhausting.
But they do a good job. I think the actress that plays Diana does an incredible job of capturing that, like, kind of meek, kind of, like, I want to be outspoken, but I can't. Internal struggle. And then McNulty, I cannot remember his real name as an actor, who's playing Prince Charles.
He's always going to be McNulty.
Listen, that nigga is McNulty to black people.
Exactly.
But he did a great job capturing Prince Charles as well. And like, there's so much behind the scenes, you know, that I'm sure they took poetic license with, but like things that I didn't realize, like the Queen was saying no to, or why it's so long for them to actually get into a divorce. And you know, it's good though. You should check it out.
I mean, check out How You Make It. I think it's worth just a watch.
I like them. They just, it's very boring to me.
Okay.
For me,
okay.
Myself personally.
Okay. Okay. Wanted to say, give a shout out or whatever you want to call it to Celine Dion, who revealed she has, what's it called?
Person's disease.
Yeah, stiff person. And actually, I'm sorry.
That's like actually the medical term for it.
Yeah. That's the term. Wow. When I saw that online, I actually thought it was a joke. I was like, because, you know, she's very proper. She I was dance. Just like, and she's very proper. I was like, oh, somebody talking shit. And then I was like, wait, this is not a like joke.
Where your muscles and I think your bones start to fuse together.
Yeah.
And your frigid. Body, like over time, you just become a statue.
Yeah. Which is so scary. Like, imagine knowing that's coming.
So scary.
That's so scary. She's been through
so much.
So much. Yay.
So much. And does it with like this really incredible quiet grace.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Appreciate.
We love our Jamaican queen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know Jamaicans love her.
Yeah, I hope she. I mean, I don't know. Like Nai said, it's got to be scary knowing that's coming.
Yeah.
It's got to be scary as hell, you know?
Speaking of expecting things, shout out to Kiki Palmer, who is pregnant.
Yes.
Revealed her pregnancy.
Someone we don't
SNL.
Know, right? We don't know who, which I'm good with.
No, we know. We know. It's
man, they've been public. I cannot, I have no idea what his name is.
Matter of fact, he's the younger brother, I think, of old boy from Insecure, the light skinned.
Okay.
The one that played
Ronjay?
Yeah, the one who played that was messing with Molly.
Yeah.
Dro. Yes, that's his younger brother.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kiki's SNL show was
her
great.
Episode was great.
Great.
She was so funny. She also just launched her network.
She did.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she had a network. Yeah. But yeah, that was great.
And like just watching her become
Yeah, this
the legend we all know she is. Yeah, like, this thing. Seeing it in real time is so great. She's so talented.
Because she can do anything. She can do drama. She can do comedy. Everything. She can sing. She can dance. She can, like,
her comedic timing is fantastic.
Sammy Davis Jr., like the jack of all trades kind of thing. She can do imitations. Like, she can kind of do anything.
Watching her do the interview for Vogue with Angela Bassett, and then Angela Bassett, and then did the Angela Bassett
the imitation
impression to Angela Bassett. Yeah, excellent moment. Dope.
And then Angela started doing it back with her. And,
yeah.
And then Angela revealed that line from the Jacksons was improvised.
Improvised.
Which was dope. Yes. So it was a piece of Kiki. And piece of SZA too. She dropped her album last night. I'm gonna listen to it today. SZA. She was good on SNL. Those two songs are fly. Hit album is good, so I'm gonna dig in.
This songs were great. I think I just hate SNL performances in general. I don't think I like the venue. They're never.
Yeah. Well, it's a small. The stage is very small.
The stage is very small, and they can't evolve but so much, you know, just because the SNL set is what it is. Yeah. Which side note, Steve Martin and Martin Short are hosting this weekend, and I'm unreasonably. Okay. I just love
it. Is this the last one for the year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, so that'll be dope. Because
when they do the only murders, when, so good.
Yeah, and when they do these, the last one of the holiday season, there'll be like mad guests. Come on, you'll be people just.
I love it.
Expecting. So yeah. So
wait, we didn't talk about when Dave hosted, did we?
No,
we didn't.
It was actually really good.
It was really good.
But Black Star,
funny Dave, we've been looking for. Yeah.
Black Star was like. Extra black. I was like,
When I tell you I muted the fuck out of that performance,
I did too, like, because I fuck with I fuck with Mose / Yassine. I cannot fuck with
Caleb.
I can't. After I saw that nigga on, you know, Twitter
online.
Yeah. It was like watching Dead Prez or something. It was like they was going so ham. I was like, yo, I know the white folks in there is like, what is this?
You
know,
it was straight backpack. They put backpacks on and walked across.
Great backpack.
It was very much Dave was like, I'm not coming unless I get to pick the musical guy.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is
going to be the Chappelle show.
Yeah. So now I want to bring up, this bugs me out that social media, Twitter specifically, when there is a big story, whatever that story is, it varies, you know? But all of a sudden, everybody's a goddamn expert. It was like,
work at the Pentagon.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He knows. I remember when, what was it? It was a thing about publishing, about writing. So what was that big thing? It was a big thing about
the Beyonce thing?
Yes, and everybody else was a publishing. It was Beyonce with old girl with Cleese, and also everybody was, you know, worked at Sony ATV or Warner Chappell. Right. I'm like, what the fuck is y'all? What y'all niggas talking about?
So and now, I remember coming on the show like, I'm gonna let y'all explain it. Like, I know this shit is dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And the problem in that instance, as it often is that you have like, and I know this is not what we're about to talk about, but just say real quickly, the problem with even music journalism. People who write up music stories don't necessarily understand the business side of music.
Absolutely.
You're writing about the artistry, they're writing about, you know, label shakeups and stuff like that, but they don't, nobody understands royalties and publishing except people who do this shit. Not really.
Yes. It's very complicated.
Very complex.
It's so, like the math ain't even regular math because songs, there are two parts of song and each part is 100% of the song. How the fuck, there's 100% of the writing and 100% of the composition that makes 100% of a song. What the fuck does that mean?
And then you got to cut those pieces up with who wrote the top line, who did the music, if there's a sample.
And then you have interpolation.
Yep.
Right. So like
my ear cannot distinguish.
And see, the problem with interpolations is that they're subjective. There's not a clear line. So all of that, and even the people who judge these cases, they don't know what the fuck any of this shit is. I have a functional knowledge of some of this stuff, as does Jeff, but like, you know, we're creative.
Yeah, you get into musicologists and all that.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
You know, Even reporters with the Beyonce thing were reporting it wrong. I was like, y'all reporting it wrong. You know what I'm saying?
It was the wrong sample they were reporting.
They were reporting the wrong sample. They were saying Beyonce removed the credit. She never removed the credit. She removed a courtesy credit. She didn't remove a legal credit. Like, it was just all kind of bullshit.
Yeah. So now everybody's apparently an arms dealing in a prisoner exchange expert.
Everybody is an international diplomacy expert.
Yeah. Of course. And they know, you know, why. This, you know, we got Britney, but we didn't get Paul Wheeler. I'm like, y'all niggas don't know shit about nothing.
First day, though, here's been my biggest gripe through this whole Britney Griner thing. First of all, I am, shout out to Biden and them, because I'm amazed that she's home so soon. I was like,
absolutely. She didn't even know she was coming home. When they showed her on the plane, they said, do you know where you're going? And she said, no.
Wow, I don't know where I'm.
They showed her on the plane. She said, it was an interpreter. He's like, do you know where you're going? And she was like, no. Mm. And he said, you're flying back to the U.S. And she was like, right. Oh, she had no idea.
Right. So it's like, I expected her to be there a year minimum, right? Because shit takes time. And I knew Russia was asking for wild shit. Mm-hmm. The problem is, I do not understand civilians who expect like that the fucking State Department and the Biden administration is going to give us step-by-step, like, strategic,
like, they didn't go over everything
and updates on how they're trying to bring Brittany Griner home. Russia is not a U.S. ally. Russia is not a U.S. ally. They are not a U.S. ally. There is no such thing as a good faith negotiation between us and Russia. And the more y'all hashtagging bring home Brittany Griner shit, the more they, you know why they got an arms dealer? Because y'all niggas blew this shit up.
Hashtagging. So, like, even as a person who worked in foreign policy for the Army, even sharing information with fucking allies, people we are literally in a war coalition with, takes an incredible amount of time, planning, logistics, and people. So just imagine, like, if I'm trying to move a paperclip from here to Bosnia, that's going to take a year of planning and go all the way up. Imagine moving a person from fucking Russia. Like, are you dumb?
I expect Biden to be tweeting like, yo, I talked to Putin yesterday. And he said, like, come on, bitch.
I think we good.
The last administration was doing that. Shit like that. And right. So now they expect everybody to
nobody
be
nobody knows how to fuck.
When they don't realize that like, nigga was breaking thing, the law.
Yeah.
There's a thing called need to know basis. Not none of us. Like, nobody, do you have a security clearance? Because I don't have security clearance. No. I'm not expecting White House to tell me shit.
Diplomacy by its very nature is incredibly nuanced, and that's why it is a job that people get paid a lot of money for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fucking easy.
Yeah, it ain't just like the movies, B.
It's not shaking the hands with a nigga and that's it.
Yeah, we good. Yeah. It's a lot going on,
because not for nothing, there are some people who are more of a threat to the U.S. than it is important to bring Brittany Griner home safely. Like, that's just it, because we really are talking about value of life and impact, right? Unfortunately. And, like, y'all may not understand that, but that's why y'all don't do this shit. Like,
I mean, part of the reason that they let Paul out, part of the reason, not the whole reason, part of the reason, because his sentence was winding down. He's been in jail for a long time. Yeah, so it's not like they let him out and he had 25 years and he did 2 months. Like, it's like he's done a long time. And so that was one of the reasons that they let him out. Number two, everybody's like, oh, I can't believe, you know, watch what happens. I'm like, bro, y'all understand arms dealing goes on every day, B. Mm-hmm.
And like, just because do you know who we are?
Exactly.
Do you know you live in America?
Like, we don't get down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Don't think because this one man got out, all of a sudden it's about to be World War III. It didn't stop because he was inside. Maybe he'll go back and start getting busy again. I don't know. But he won't be a catalyst for things to go crazy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys, again, you'll watch too many movies. But Paul
Wheeler.
Yeah,
Wheeler, no one person is watching can True have Lies. That much impact on a global arms trade. Like, come on.
You're watching Born to Supremacy. With Paul Wheeler, the issue is, the Russians think he's a spy.
But they want to kill him.
Yeah, so they're not letting him out because they're like, yo, this man spied on us and you know, traded information and stuff. So, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, he's off the table. He probably never coming back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or he might never come back. So like, I just wish people would, you know, watch some news, right. read some shit before you just make
be quiet.
Or just shut the fuck up.
Because the other thing is, here's the real. The United States is not obligated to retrieve any citizen from
no.
Especially like somebody traveling internationally with weed, guys.
Who broke the law.
She broke the law. And we may think that the punishment is very severe because it is.
And it would be severe here.
Right.
It's severe to us here, but she ain't here.
My nigga, you was in Russia doing some very American shit.
You know how many euphemisms, okay. You know how many euphemisms for severe punishment or for harsh conditions like are like basically are about Russian prison? Like
Siberia.
Somebody, talk about somebody going to Siberia.
What was the movie with Billy? When he went to Turkey and got hemmed up and he ended up escaping. But this anyway, just yo, not to sound like trite and silly, but yo, watch Locked Up Abroad. That shit is real. That shit's real. You can fuck around if you want.
Americans want to be like, but we're Americans. We have rights. No, you don't. You have rights.
Not
in
over there.
Rights in America. And maybe Canada.
Yeah, like, you ain't got no rights in Rwanda. You in Botswana, that shit's off the table, bro.
Like in Myanmar. But see, and people are raising this because, what you call it, Indonesia now has a law against sex outside of marriage. So you about to be going to Bali trying to get your shit on, and your ass going to end up in jail.
You'll be stuck in the like,
no, remember no the girls that went over there trying to get mixy and bring a bunch of that put out the ebook and then got deported.
Oh, the black girls, the two girls, the two lesbian girls.
Oh man,
they blew their whole shit up trying to be fly. So yes, yeah. But anyway, PC Brittany Griner, I'm glad you're home.
And people talk about, first of all, I'm sorry to interrupt again. People talking about we need to throw her a parade. We need to have
come on, chill out.
Let me tell you something, Brittany Griner.
Just throw something on the grill.
She's not even built like that. She's not even built like that. She's very, very shy and low key. She's not going to do that.
Let Brittany Griner live, please.
Her wife is going to order something from Honey Baked Ham. Word. And have a couple folks over, and that's what you get.
And so they have
don't need a parade, guys.
A Chick-fil-A spread. They have a spread from Mom. They have a spread from.
I wish I would from Papa Do's house. For a party, and they got a Chick-fil-A spread.
Come on, man.
I will
thank you. Cover them fingers. Cover them fingers. I'm glad she's home and peace to her. Wanted to talk about,
I'm sorry. Also, she's not a hero. She's just an American
She's not a hero. She's just a basketball player who came home. Yeah, God bless her. But yeah, I'm not doing
it. She wasn't a prisoner of war, y'all. Like, let's
relax. She fucked up. She knows she fucked up.
You got Doha parade because she got arrested and we got her out.
Word. Niggas is ridiculous.
Right.
So, niggas is ridiculous, man. So, R. Kelly.
Dying.
R. Kelly, an R. Kelly album dropped today. And actually, I just got a text that they pulled the album. Yeah, they pulled the album.
It's too late.
But it said on the tag Legacy Records, which is an arm of Sony Music. That's where they do most of their like classic stuff, like the older re-releases and whatnot. But apparently that wasn't right. That was a bootleg as well. But an R. Kelly album came out for a little while today called I Admit It, and people went ham.
Apparently, and this does fit it being a bootleg, like those three tracks that were like, I Admit It, I Did It, parts 1, 2, and 3, were actually, I Confess, all 19 minutes of I Confess, chopped up into three different songs. Because I was like, this sounds like the shit he already did with I Confess. And that's, I guess somebody just decided they was going to just put out a new R. Kelly. But there has been new R. Kelly music floating around. That's why it's easy to believe.
Really? I haven't heard anything.
A TikTok challenge with some.
Oh, that song. Yeah, the TikTok challenge got pretty big. Or something. That was a pretty big song.
Leg Shake, which honestly, and it might have been older. I don't know. And then there was, somebody told me that they were in the studio with an R&B artist that I'm not going to name, and they were playing Kelly track. They were playing Kelly's tracks. I don't know when they were made. I don't know what was done. Even that song that the Ozzy Brothers put out after their verses were R. Kelly song that they bought off of him. So it's like,
So, but they pulled it down. So if you didn't hear it, you missed it. But dude, Rob got a, he got a rough road, man.
I mean, listen, the nigga got judgments. He gonna have to figure something out.
Isn't there like one more trial?
Yeah, Minnesota. Yeah. Minnesota.
He's never
No, he's good. Yeah. He's cool. I got a request.
Okay.
I got actually a double request. Things I want to leave in 2022. Blueface and Chris Sean, please, enough.
I think they both need to be in some sort of inpatient facility.
Explain to me, can y'all explain to me why and how they even became a thing? I don't get
They had a reality show on, they had a reality show on Zeus, on the Zeus Network.
It was like one of the first shows that they had on Zeus.
Zeus is like highly committed to trash programming, and I kind of
committed.
Yeah, like, we are going to show you the most ghetto shit possible.
Is Krishan one of the girls that was like in the Blueface house?
Yes, yes. Blueface had a house. It was a similar show years ago. Flavor Love was kind of similar. Like, I forget the name of the show.
Right, but like way more abusive.
Yeah, way more abusive. And Krishan was one of those girls. Yes.
And I was like, why is this girl missing a tooth? And then she got the tooth fixed, and then she would take it back out. It's weird.
Well, he likes it without the tooth, so she doesn't wear it.
Yeah.
Which bothers me a lot.
There's a couple sex tapes. There's
bothers me that they just beat each other up. Beat the
shit
out
of it. I mean, and they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, like he pulled out like a 3-inch square of the back of her hair.
And she just posted last week a picture of him with 2 black eyes that she did.
Isn't he in jail?
No, he's out. He hasn't been put in yet. So I can't with that. And can we leave the cuffing challenge in 2022?
Yes.
The cuffing challenge.
I enjoy watching the white women struggle with the cuffing challenge. There is one funny thing. Like, we can leave the, like, we all on a girls trip. Let's do it right. Yeah. Like, but when they do it wrong, it is spectacular.
Yeah. And most of the time it's wrong. Most of the time
they really don't understand hips and pelvis at all. It's so
they don't. It's just, but it's just, it's turning into like almost like the Macarena. Like it's just become a thing that just. But I know people are having fun with it. Maybe I'm being Scroogey, but I'm just like, damn, man. Like, all right, I get it. And it was a funny. I wonder, but I'm not. The record is growing and I'm starting to play it on the radio now, which is obviously a good thing. But I feel like a lot of people not long ago probably only knew that part of the song.
Yeah, for real. Definitely.
You know, definitely. So just that, that little part. It's like,
that's
it's
not even
record.
The best part of the song.
It's not. Right. It's not. It's a dope record. I mean, it's, you know, Nile Rodgers, it's Rafael Sadiq playing the bass. It's a fly record. But you know, maybe I'm being a little scoogey, but I'm ready to let that go, man. I'm ready to let that go.
I would really love to have some visuals for that album.
Yeah, I'm genuinely shocked that she said no visuals at all.
I'm not. You know why? Because Beyonce's done every kind of visual concept and release that you can think of. The only thing left to do is just not do them.
Yeah.
And, well, I also think she was trying to prove something with this album. Like, think about B.
She's done nothing. Interviews, nothing.
Well, no, listen to what I'm about to say. Beyonce is one of those people who you hear a song and you be like, it's the visual that, her whole career has been the visual that drove the song. Mm-hmm. And I think she wanted to prove that her music
could carry.
Exactly.
She also did this album and this rollout in a really traditional way. I'm thinking she like wanted to prove she could get back to that and be just as successful.
Well,
too.
And I think
she's been dropping blindly
again, she's
for
done
the last couple
else.
Albums.
So, like, I was on 4, which was the album where she started just putting shit out of order. And the reason she initially did it was because she was pregnant with Blue. She was taping and canning videos early. Like, she was shooting everything for the album. But what would happen was, we have one song at urban, one song at rhythm, one song at pop. She shoot a whole other video. And then instead of be like, let me hold it, I get a call on fucking Saturday at 3:30, like, Beyonce wants to put the video out tomorrow type shit. You know what I mean? It's like, but we don't have that track at any format. And it was like, no, she don't care. She don't want to do it. Like, so she was like, she didn't want to do the, like, the single video, single video, single video. So then next came the self-titled album, and she just dropped all the videos at once.
Yeah, I remember that. The Black and Pink album. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, there's nothing else to do at this point except go back to the original formula, which nobody does anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad she's doing the original formula, though, because I kind of compare it musically to how a lot of rap dudes, once they learned that Jay-Z and Wayne, I'm thinking it was a little before them, but Jay-Z and Wayne didn't write things down. Yeah. And everybody started trying to make records without writing them down. And made for trash. And I think I compared to that, and that people started to drop, mad people started to just drop albums out the sky. It's like, no, nigga, you actually need the setup. You're not that.
I mean, executives are to blame for it too, because they didn't want to front load the money for a setup.
Yeah,
right?
So
just so that y'all know, like, the longer it takes for an album to come out, the more money you're in the hole by the time the album comes out, obviously. So they wouldn't want to front load. They would want to almost put the album out as proof of concept. But it's like, you have to create awareness and
build exactly. Power. Because too many times now, you're dropping a full album with no, air quotes, first single or
nobody
video.
And
so the album comes and goes.
Right, so you had to go all the way back to what we used to do, where it's like, you had the street track, and then you had the official single, and then you had the
video.
Like, you don't have to do all that, but you need to build some hype. And I mean, I think the other thing that I'm noticing, not just with Beyonce, but even a few years ago when Solange dropped her last album and she went and got Mike Jones' number and she was using Black Planet and all that other shit, it's like, we've done so much digitally that the old analog shit actually feels special now. So like the fact that Beyonce put, like, the people were actually like pressed to get the physical
the vinyl
album and look through the book, which used to be our ritual. You know, every Tuesday you get the CD, you open it, that first play through, you're looking at the booklet, you're looking at who wrote it, you're looking at the lyrics, you're looking at the thank you, you're looking at the artwork. And now all of a sudden we just had like this one image shot in the whole fucking album. This shit wasn't as special anymore. And I think that's
because I get it. I get it later. I'll do it later. Don't worry about it.
Wanted to take it back to some preciousness of
Even with the Her Loss, or with the Drake's 21 Savage project, again, they did a kind of traditional rollout. They were like, these bunch of little videos, and there's an actual single, and it's like, you know, it's again, because I mean, and you know, Drake.
And also, now that Billboard changed its charting rules on streaming, you kind of gotta, where like, you can't. What is it? Basically, running up all these streaming numbers with autoplays and stuff like that isn't going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of charting singles, so people kind of got to go back to.
Yeah, yeah. And again, for the most part, most of you niggas are not built for that.
Right.
You cannot just drop an album out the sky. So maybe Taylor Swift, yes.
Right.
Some of you others, you need to chill and do it the traditional way.
Right.
So that's that. I'm gonna mention your man Van Jones.
What happened with Van Jones?
So Van Jones was speaking at a Jewish award ceremony, a Jewish event. I don't know what the event was for exactly. And he apologized to the Jewish community on behalf of all Black people.
Are you fucking kidding?
I'm dead ass.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm dead ass. I'm dead ass. I'm dead ass. He apologized to the Jewish community on behalf of all Black people because we did not check our people about anti-Semitism, and now we've got Kanye out here doing the most, and we should have nipped that in the bud And not let somebody like Kanye get away with this. So we sincerely apologize to the whole Jewish community.
Kanye West is not a problem of the Black community.
Right.
We didn't do that.
No, right, okay, so here's the first
thing. I'm just telling you what happened.
The first thing is this. It is that. Not.
Don't be apologizing on behalf of me, man.
It is not for one person
to issue an apology to an entire people on behalf of another entire
person. Especially without a meeting.
Right.
We didn't have no meeting.
We barely fuck with Van Jones. He is not the spokesperson for Blackness.
We don't fuck with Van Jones.
And the thing is also, like, it is not for, like, I don't expect any one white person to be like, yo, I'm sorry for all the white people in the world that did some assholes. I don't expect that. Like, take accountability for your shit. Now, here's the thing. Is there a conversation to be had amongst Black people?
Absolutely.
About anti-Semitic tropes and rhetoric that we
teaching them that Hitler did not like Black people. He murdered thousands of, you know.
That without sometimes being aware of it, propaganda that we bought into without knowing is propaganda, especially from like Black Israelites and shit like that. Yes, that's a conversation to be had amongst Black people. Mm-hmm. Are there small conversations that can be had in small groups of Black and Jewish people to better understand Kanye? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, but Van fucking purple tie, both sides jump. That's the thing. Everything you need to know about this nigga is the fact that purple tie, which is a combination of the red and blue, which is some both side shit, is his signature. His signature is I'm not gonna pick a side. That's his.
I'm riding this fence.
I'm riding this fucking fence. So for his ass to get up like in a pop, nigga, like
yes,
I'm, he did that. I hate that nigga. Like
he for did it. He did it. Yeah, so, man, chill out. Again, this is not, obviously, this is not being anti-Semitic and, you know, at all, but it's like, Van Jones,
sit the fuck down. There is also a conversation to be had, and Kanye is, let me say first, unequivocally, Kanye is dead fucking wrong. If y'all know, I think
he's ridiculous. Kanye's dead fucking wrong.
And he is spouting anti-Semitic rhetoric, whether he believes in his heart or not, he's doing it, right? However, there's also a conversation that does have to be had about how, like, yes, we are both historically oppressed peoples, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot in common. We have had allegiances in the past. There are some in the future. We also have a complicated relationship with each other, especially if you live in New York. If you're a Black person from New York, you have a very complicated relationship with Jewish people.
I would say it's in New York. It's the Hasidics,
right?
It's more so than.
Fair.
The
Hasids.
Then modern practicing Jews.
Yes.
And the ultra-Orthodox.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. If you are a Black person in entertainment or sports, you have a kind of complicated relationship with Jewish people because they tend to be the agents and the lawyers and the bosses and the da-da-da-da. And you tend to be your talent, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. That said, just as, yes, there's a conversation about Black people and anti-Semitism that we sometimes perpetrate without fully being aware of it, or sometimes being aware of it, there is also a conversation about how Jewish people can, yes, be racist. So, like, it goes
both ways,
right? But but those conversations, just simply because of our histories as our respective peoples and cultures, they are so nuanced. They are not for social media. They are not for sound bites. They are not for big groups, right? No. So Van is just kissing ass. It's kind of like how Van said at CPAC that Trump needs to get more credit because he's doing stuff that Black people said they were going to do. Like, how much pandering and soft-showing and tap dancing can you
he's
do?
He's a clown. Yeah, but as far as Kanye, like, his career is over now. You running around saying you love Hitler. You're done, son.
You running around showing porn to people at the fucking Adidas headquarters.
Right.
In a meeting. Like, and showing really personal pictures of your wife to people in these meetings. Like, yeah, you're done.
Unprompted.
Like,
then the Hitler shit.
That's
like
disgusting.
But also, like, again, we've said this here before. I'm unsurprised. Like, Kanye is fascinated by cult of personality. So Jobs, Trump,
Disney, Walt Disney.
Disney, Elon. So of course Hitler. Of course Hitler. Because if you are a person who wants more than anything for the world to listen to you and for an entire group of people to conform to whatever you say is good, bad, hot, not, and just like built an entire, like, make yourself almost a deity in leadership, then yes, Hitler's on your list of people you admire.
Yes, it's wild though with him. I'm gonna get it, Cam. What's wild with him is that, like, it's like a lot of dudes. He admits it. He doesn't read. So what he does is just spit back what people somebody says to him.
And he spits it back accurately. He be remixing shit.
Yeah, like you said, Hitler invented the highway. I'm like, what are you talking about, fam?
Shout out to anybody that can actually sit through a full interview.
Even his slavery is a choice shit came from Candace Owens' Blexit movement saying that being a Democrat was like being a slave. And all of a sudden that came into being a Democrat is slavery. Then all of a sudden turned into slavery is a choice. Like, he just be remixing shit.
Yeah.
Like, don't read shit. He want to be a free thinker, but they're not even his own thoughts.
No, like, they're not. They're not. I don't respect the nigga's intellect. I think he's kind of slow, actually, on the low.
He's a savant. He can hear music in ways that normal people can't, but
the other stuff,
everyday common sense information, is lost on him.
I think it's actually an intention thing. I don't think Kanye actually cares to really hear, pay attention to.
Yeah, I think now he's just going for clicks and likes.
Anything that's not about him.
Yeah.
And I believe if he actually cared to be more aware, he actually probably could be more intelligent. The thing is that there, because I do believe there's some ADHD with Kanye, along with his narcissism, along with the bipolar. Like, I believe there's a lot of things going on, right? Mm-hmm. But I just believe it's kind of like Trump. Like, I believe Trump is slow, but more than that, because even if you listen to Trump like 20 years ago, he sounds much more coherent.
Wait.
I believe this motherfucker just don't give a fuck about shit that's not about him.
Yeah, and I think they both say things. They say things on the internet so people react.
Right.
They just said, "Yo, they haven't
had to give a fuck about anything but themselves in a very long time."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm tired of his ass, man. You know, peace. You know,
you can say peace. Peace to that nigga.
Fuck that nigga.
Fuck that nigga segment is back this week.
Yeah. He's the fuck that nigga. Yeah, this week. Yeah,
in perpetuity.
And yeah, forever, fuck Danny.
I got a little shout out real quick.
Go,
quick things. Number one, rest in peace to Tina Turner's only living son left. They found him dead. Today or yesterday at 62 in his house. So she is, it's just her that now.
Tragic. That's wild. Was it an overdose? Do they know?
I don't know. I didn't see any details about how he died, just that he was
found dead. Wait, is this one hers or this is the one that's
ice? This hers.
Okay.
So she had two sons. The other one committed suicide a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And this was the one that was left, and he was just found dead. So
that's awful.
Her heart. That sucks a lot. But on a happier note,
I think she might have been estranged from him, though, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. But still.
I mean, maybe I could see that probably.
Yeah.
And then shout out to Trevor Noah, who had his last The Daily Show broadcast. I think it was last night.
Yeah,
and he gave a really moving thank you speech to his audience and shouted out black women specifically. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. Did I watch that show? Not since Jon Stewart left, but I have seen clips and I like him.
I like Trevor. He's a good egg.
He's going to be fine.
And he's smart and he gets it. And, you know, when you leave a talk show seat, it usually means that something big is on the other side when you leave it voluntarily.
Yeah, he's gonna be fine.
Jon Stewart might be an exception. I would actually love to see Jon Stewart kind of come back. I think that Jon Stewart's biggest regret, because Jon Stewart retired and then Trump was declared the candidate
for
presidency, and I think it's probably his biggest regret in life that he left. and he wasn't
he didn't get there to rock that. Yeah.
So he's doing something now. I want to say it's on HBO.
John Stewart has a problem.
Apple TV, yeah.
What kind of problem?
That's the name of the show.
Oh, the name of the show. Okay, I'm like, wait.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Daily Show. It's a very similar format.
All right.
One. I guess we could.
Are we gonna talk about Deion?
Yeah, we could round up talking about Deion Sanders. So Deion. Deion Sanders. left Jackson State University to go coach at University of Colorado Boulder this week.
Very unceremoniously.
It's been the talk of the town, especially amongst Black folks, and especially amongst HBCU grad. I still say Black colleges, I guess. HBCU graduates about how he left. That's the thing.
And that's
it's not that he left.
Yes. Thank you.
Because he got a better job. So, who am I to tell you to turn down $30 million?
Right. It's how he left.
It's how you left.
So then it's how he came. And it's how he came.
Before you get there.
Go ahead.
So Bomani Jones, I think, summed it up really great.
Yeah, Bomani was a Black college graduate.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you get these college coaching positions,
he went to Clark.
Okay. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I didn't know that. But mm-hmm. when you are a college coach, your job basically is that you're selling a 10-year plan 1 year at a time. Like, you only got this contract for 1 or 2 years, but the changes you need to make are going to be over a decade. Right. And of course, mm-hmm. kids are going to sign up to be with you for their 4 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Make these commitments to the people, but you don't really make the commitment to the college because the college is not committed to you long term when you sign those little contracts. So Deion Sanders, we always knew his goal was to get to Division I or whatever is the highest in college football land. I'm not world D1. Best.
Yeah.
D1. Right. So him snapping up this opportunity is not crazy. Like, we're not all faulting him for it. It's just that you sold a 10-year dream, accomplished 2 years of it, and bounced.
Yes. Right. See, that's the problem. He came in. See, I was always...
Can I get in, please? Let me get in here. Please. Okay. Here's the thing. And I went to an SEC school, but I come from a family of HBCUs. So not only that, my boyfriend started playing football in an SEC program, transferred to a MEAC school, and was drafted out of a MEAC championship team, right? He went to Carolina, then the Hampton when they were still in MEAC.
Oh, he went to Hampton. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Mortgage MEAC, too.
And for him, going from an SEC program, which had beautiful facilities, great fans, huge boosters, fancy meals, planes, fly hotels, mm-hmm. to MEAC with much fewer resources, fried chicken for game meals, like, yo, all that shit. The resources were lacking, but the attention to the player as an individual was drastically different. Mm-hmm. And literally ran into his coach after he turned pro. Coach didn't even remember that he played for him. Ran into our Carolina coach, Brad Scott. Mm-hmm. Coach Scott didn't even remember that he played for him. But he stays in touch, like, by face. I'm sure he said some names, some numbers, some years, maybe. Scott was at Clemson by then, I think. But, you know, him and his, but his Hampton coaches, like, they're in contact.
Yeah, that's for life. That's for life.
So also, you know, these people actually care about the fact that you actually take some courses and graduate because they know mm-hmm. that not everybody's going pro. So, okay, so there's that part. When Deion came in, because the whole, this is how college football works, this is what coaches do, blah, blah, that is bothering me because you cannot remove the fact that this is about a Black coach at a Black college. And Deion came in and put the entire, like, perception of HBCU football on his back by choice. Mm-hmm. Said he was called by God, right? You brought Bomani up. Bomani was a person, I was one of them too. When Jackson State hired him, I was like, this shit gonna be about him. It's gonna be showtime. You know what I mean? It's gonna be prime time. Like, it's gonna be all Deion, because that's who Deion is. And he actually changed my mind. I was like, oh, maybe he's really about this shit. Deion has been the mascot for HBCU football for the past three seasons, right? Especially this last season. So for you to now, people are like, oh, but he's been complaining about the money on 60 Minutes, which first of all is laughable. Because if you're Deion motherfucking Sanders, I know you ain't take a swag job thinking you was going to make some real money off of that shit. It's a labor of love, which is what mm-hmm. you said it was. You jump to the worst school in their conference, go to the school that they don't even have the money to pay you yet. If you had stayed at Jackson State another year and repeated this season, you could have probably got calls from SEC, from Big Ten, whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? Then tell these motherfuckers that your son, who don't even start at Jackson State, is going to be a starting quarterback at the new school. And that's the thing. People think it's a play to get his son to the NFL, which maybe it is, but that also makes him a horrible
part of it.
That also makes him a horrible coach because you are basically tanking a program you spent 2 years building for the sake of one player, even if that one player is your kid. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, that's what people are reacting to. And my thing is like, you cannot argue with people being disappointed. You cannot argue disappointment. It is a completely personal and subjective thing. You may disagree, but the way motherfuckers are like, well, all coaches sell dreams. Okay, but let's not act like it's not different when you come into a Black home with a Black family and you say, send your kid to us because we're going to take care of him and we don't do what the white coaches do. And then you turn around and do what the white coaches do. You didn't even get your first recruiting class out the door.
Well, also,
and you're taking the top six players and you're taking half the coaching staff.
Also, a lot of people do not understand how this came to be. Deion was coaching. He actually wasn't a coach. He was the offensive coordinator for a high school program in Texas, where he lives. He was never a head coach before this, ever. Right. To be a head coach in college football, you have to have certain credentials, including a degree.
Right.
You have to graduate college. He did not graduate college when he went to the pros. Fine. Right. So he kept trying to get, you know, applying to jobs and talking to people. And literally, he got turned down everywhere. It was like, bro, you have no head coach experience. You right. like coaching in high school. You do not have the credentials either. We're not even taking a flight, including his alma mater, Florida State.
And of they course, even Florida said no. Nah. Is a top tier.
Yeah, they're winning national champions. So they was like, fuck out of here, son. You bug. Deion's thing is he didn't want to.
He didn't want to be
a coordinator. He wanted to just come in as a head coach. He didn't want to work for somebody. So he went to Jackson State. Jackson State said, we will give you a chance, even though you never head coached before. And we will actually pay for you to get your degree from Talladega College so mm-hmm. you can be a coach. So right. the thing is, like, everybody keeps spinning this, including Deion, spinning this as
like
if he
did so
them a favor. And he right. did some things for them, yes. But Jackson State did him a favor. Mm-hmm. He was not going to get a head coaching job anywhere else, period. So they did him a favor by taking a flyer. So for him to leave early and jerk them like that, it was right. kind of like spitting in their face. It's like, yo, we gave you a shot.
They ain't do XYZ for him. They treated him like this. He put all his money into XYZ. And I'm like, if you are primetime and you're going to fucking Jackson State, I think that part of the deal is you're here to be a draw. Mm-hmm. Like, you're here to be a draw. You're here because you're Deion Sanders. Like, yes. Eddie Clark can't do what Deion Sanders does. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, that's the whole reason for taking the chance on you, because Deion is a unique, it would be like Jordan going to coach college.
Yeah, or LeBron or something.
Yeah, and then people being like, oh, because people are like, oh, they can get another Hall of Fame football player, because nobody is Deion Sanders but Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. Literally, there's not another player that could have that marriage at a Black college, because also, he's not going to be able to go to fucking Colorado and be changing up official game day colors.
No, nah. Oh, that shit's dead.
Fucking jackets and yeah. doing, like, this nigga took mad liberties.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was the head of the athletic department. Legit.
Yeah, yeah, basically he was. Basically he was. But so he, you know, again, he did a good job. He did, you know, they had a great program. They were undefeated this year.
But now they're going to have to rebuild it.
But it was real what the Alabama State, Eddie Robinson a junior who's not related to Eddie Robinson from Grambling, he said he's not swag. And that's how I felt about it the whole time. I was like, he ain't go to a black school.
Right.
So there's like, I felt like he...
Cosplaying.
There's like culture. Yeah, there's like cultural things that you, as a black person, you might pick up. And like, there's going to be, like he's gonna just take advantage and leave because he's not. Right. It doesn't come from his experience. Like, well, I didn't go to a black school. Like, you know, I didn't go to, but my whole family went. It's not right. that. He's just football. You know what I'm saying?
But like, if we knew this is what he was going to do anyway, why is everybody so upset?
Because he left so quickly. One reason he left so quickly.
He left so quickly. Years. Nobody expected him to stay forever. No, but like, he could have put in at least one more year. My concern is twofold. The first thing is, yeah, people maybe thought he was going to do this because he's Deion, but I do believe in, like, if you preach a game, like, this nigga was evangelizing HBCU mm-hmm. football. He calling out other coaches. He's making the argument, we are as good as the PWIs. You do not need, and telling his recruits, this is really who my heart hurts for, is recruits. Because he went to black families who were top prospects and said, don't go to that white school just because they have better facilities and they have better this. Come to us, build with us, right? And if your ass is taking off after 2 years, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if you are the person, because, and to that point, you know, he was preaching the whole HBCU football, if given the right resources and if given time to build, is as good, can provide the same quality programs as white schools, right? But as soon as that's left, people was like, of course he left that janky swag school to go to that good white school. Even though it's like the nigga who leaves a banging black woman for like
a white girl
who's a five, but people be like, but at least she's white. It's that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because like Nye said, Colorado won one game this season. I think they won five games.
Like three coaches in two years.
Yeah, in the last 5 years, they've won like five games. The program is terrible. It hasn't been good since the 90s. So it's like, if he had left and gone to a program that was at least decent, it'd be like, well, you know, he went to Auburn or he went to, right. you know, wherever.
And back to Florida like, State. Went yeah, up.
He went to the bottom of the barrel. So to me, it's like, yo, bro, you were just waiting for the white man to call you. You just waiting.
Like,
you took a garbage job.
You went to the worst school and like the most boring conference. Legit. Like,
yeah, no one cares about that.
Yeah.
Not here.
Yeah,
no one cares
about
Boulder either.
That's what I'm saying.
But so, I'm also almost positive. I heard that already emails popping off from student parents because they're going to be like, you ain't getting that jigaboo up in here acting a fool.
I can believe it.
Yeah, I'm doing all kind of crip walking and all kind of bullshit. That's
give him my theme music. Nah, nigga, that's over.
Nah, that shit
ain't about you, B.
That's over. That's over.
I got a little beef with Colorado, by the way. Ooh, I love it here.
Okay.
But there are no decent baked goods in this fucking...
Anywhere? Like,
really?
I don't know if it's that altitude.
A good Edmonds pie?
Oh, the altitude Edmonds makes
count.
Sense.
But
because baking is science.
The bagels are horrendous. The donuts, awful. I'm trying to find a decent baguette. Terrible. They got Krispy Kreme, but I mean, you know, I like the little, let me check out a little donut shop.
From a bakery.
See what y'all do.
Yeah.
No, everything's trash. It's all bad.
Damn.
All bad. And I've been looking since I got here. And like, I feel like if y'all have been here
I should
figure out this fucking altitude by now.
I send you a Publix package if you need me to, because you know Publix.
I just need a bagel. And I know you only get those good ones on the East Coast because of the water. Right. But something's gotta get. I can't.
I'll send you some Publix bagels. I got you.
Even like a good grocery store cake.
Yeah,
I'll send you a Publix cake. I got you. I'll send you a Publix cake. It ain't no thing.
Shout out the Publix sheet cake. That cake is good.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the Sam sheet cake. That joint rock on the East Coast. Here, trash.
Trash.
Yum. Okay.
Very upsetting.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm going to be
I'm sorry to hear that too. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that too.
The Lord is telling me not to eat bread.
Don't eat sheet cake.
Please continue.
You know, and peace to everybody who's buying eggs for $10 a carton. That's crazy.
I went to 3 stores this week trying to find eggs.
And you said you couldn't even find none.
Couldn't find eggs. Somebody tweeted me a story that like some chicken farm like burned in the United States. Something happened to the egg supply.
That's why there was a shortage.
Like a massive fire at one of these chicken plants, and it apparently supplies like the world.
That's like an ongoing thing this year. The baby formula shortage, the tampon shortage, the Adderall shortage, now the egg shortage. There was a tampon shortage for a minute. It all comes from the fact that the majority of products in all these different places come from one source, even if they're under different brand names and stuff like that. But they come from one original source.
So if it goes left, it affects everything.
Isn't that the opposite of what is it called? Antitrust? I guess antitrust only works for corporations, not
They don't care about brand products.
I blame the previous administration.
Same. Because I think part of what has happened is there was a level of checks and balances in terms of inspections and stuff like that that was very relaxed.
They simply did not staff federal agencies who are responsible for making sure that we eat and get what we need.
All right, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Brad, he was on a call. He was going to try to jump on, but I guess he couldn't make it.
Christmas is in 2 weeks. That's why.
Y'all done shopping?
I haven't even started shopping.
Damn. That's how I know y'all don't have little kids.
You've been shopping since September?
Well, everything I haven't just gave up and gave to Ivy already. Mm-hmm. I got a couple things in the stash. But looking for stuff.
I just started functioning like a normal person again a week ago. Oh, there's bro right there.
Are you coming on now?
I've been shopping. This lady, I got into it with a lady in the TJ Maxx parking lot.
I saw
my door open. I'm trying to get out the car. She whipped into the parking space like a fucking Formula 500 driver. The one next to me, she almost hit my car. She stopped at like an inch. And then was like, looking at me crazy. Because what the fuck are you doing? Like, you almost hit me.
And she's looking at you like, what's your issue?
You want to start an argument. I was like, please get back in your vehicle.
Mm. Sean, you there? He's muted, though.
Yeah, I don't
know. Sean, if you can hear us, we're about to wrap up. If you want to come on.
You want to say something real quick?
Yeah, man. I ain't got too much to say. I guess you guys covered it all. I'm all late. I ain't got my pen. People who did the homework,
pencils,
right?
Yeah.
You ain't got your syllabus.
I might just do a little 7 to 10 minute rant on my own on this Dion thing. I have Justin put my opinion in.
Okay. I think you should. I think you should. I encourage.
We got seven minutes. I'm trying to hear this.
Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. So Dion has been famous for 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been who he is for 40 years. I just don't understand how we fell for,
the man in the tailpipe.
let me not say that. There's a certain benevolence that certain people have when they give, right? When they give of themselves, right? There is this selfless feeling that you can sense that there's this desire to kind of be there for people. And then there are other people that do this for the praise. And I mean, the easiest way for us to peep this is how we see people filming themselves giving homeless people food, right? Gauche and very tacky. Listen, Dion, he did come into an HBCU and he did shine a light in a way that they did not have prior to that. Right. But the one thing that has put a really bad taste in my mouth hasn't been that he left or I expected him to leave, but it has been how he has basically given HBCUs and Jackson State and the people of Jackson, his ass to kiss, that has really been very distasteful. And it's really been, it's giving me, I can't wait to get from around you niggas.
Yes.
Because Dion has been, you know, his quality for now more than half his life. Like, and when we think about this, right? Like for a guy that's what, Dion's what, 55?
Yes. You're about that. You're about
So Dion has really, again, for the last 35 years or so, been very well off. He went to State University, right? Like, so this is not someone who went to HBCU. He did not, there was no skimping on the institutional facilities. And he went high in the draft. So Dion, like, he's very removed from that. Dealing with financial challenges is a very, very small portion of his life in perspective to his entire life.
Right.
And you kind of get that sense, right? And what I don't really like is that he is pretending as though, and his vibe and his mannerisms and his actions is like, this was not mutually exclusive. I mean, this was not mutually beneficial. And that's what really is bothering me. Like, sure, did it help Jackson State? Absolutely. No one can deny that. Did it help the city of Jackson? Yes. No one can deny that. But my guy, like Bomani and others have said, you were not going to be second fiddle to anyone. You were not going to go through the assistant ranks. You were not going to be traveling, bouncing around
and doing that.
And Jackson State went out of their way to get you qualified, because technically he wasn't qualified to be a head coach. He had to get his degree from like Talladega College or something like that. So to pretend to not even, one, it was tasteless and classless to not even give those people and the press, the local press, a press conference. Yes. Yeah. And a press conference that you were going away. Right. You know, and this behavior has been in line, even down to one of his people saying, I believe the mic picked them up saying, oh, we can breathe fresh air now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which was just wild. Like that to me is indicative of the types of conversations that have been had. And
you know what, Sean, to your point, and we were saying this, like, it's not that, because people are like, y'all expected him to stay there forever. I'm like, I expected him to stay there maybe long enough to get his first recruiting class out the door. It's not that we didn't know Dion was Dion, but I was seeing how he was becoming a representation of Black college football as a whole, and the attention that non-Black media, that mainstream sports media was starting to put, like, College Game Day came to Jackson State this year. They're not going back to Jackson State without Dion. Like, that's not happening. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, you could at least put in another year so that people could have believed in the program and not just you at the program. And Jackson State gave you so much license. So to be like, you know, left the kids' morale fucked up, which I have a problem with, right? And now, all of a sudden, you went from this being like some God put this on your heart to now, all of a sudden, it's about stats and programs and it's about business again. The code switching is also like my nigga, like, it's just, it's fat. Like, it's you.
The irony is the Uchi Wally and one mic.
Right.
Well, the irony is that him calling out that Black dude about his code switching when he was like, yo, you just wasn't talking to me. You know, so, Dion is like many people. And the whole God put this on my heart, right, is really couched in, I don't want to be blasphemous here, but it's couched in bullshit, right? It's used as a way for people to back off of legitimate questions when people say, God put this on my heart, right? Because usually when they say that, it is, again, with some measure of benevolence. It is with some measure of saying, oh, you know, I was called to maybe do this great thing for this person who was in need, right? Like, that's usually how it's used. So to see it used as like God, because clearly God said, look, I know the people in Jackson don't have water right now. However,
We need you at JSU.
We need that JSU popping. And listen, right. I got my JSU merch and I was all in, but I never really believed the hype because I also, I'm an old nigga from Brooklyn and I don't believe people. I think everyone's a liar by and large, right? Like I think I'm one of those, just show me.
Right.
And
right.
he was never one of those people that was like that. And so now he rises in the ranks. And while this may be good for his bank account and it may be good for his profile, I don't necessarily know that it is going to be good for his coaching because he now leaves the protection of being at HBCU. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be questions and people are going to, you know, he is very uncomfortable and very ungracious when he is being pressed about something.
Yeah.
You know, it comes off, he do these filibuster answers with
the rhyme and shit, you know.
And then he goes into this whole speech about how God told him one thing and it, nigga, just answer the question. Like that might fly, with Uncle Curtis and Aunt Gloria. Okay, that shit is not flying in Boulder.
Right.
Okay. It's just not that's just not the culture that you've decided to go into. And listen, will he be good? Won't he be good? I have very strong doubts. I do see that he's also pulled Mississippi Valley's head coach to come to his coaching staff.
I didn't know that.
So I want to say the other part of this is too, is that we have to remember that a lot of these assistant coaches and the people who are on the staffs on these football teams and these programs, they are making probably about $30,000 a year. I don't know if you guys remember, but even in Last Chance U, one of those guys was an assistant. He was living in the dorms.
I remember that. With his family. Yep, I remember that.
These are the kinds of things that we have to keep in mind when someone does make a move. And sometimes...
Which is fine.
Sometimes people... I guess what I want to say, and maybe it's very difficult for me to articulate, is that sometimes people can be self-serving and still be beneficial to you. And you just have to acknowledge the fact that that person is also being, like, listen, I'm pretty sure homeless people have taken the food or the hungry people have taken the food and said, I'm like, this motherfucker's irking me, right? Like, I know what he's trying to do, but I'm hungry, right? And I know that I kind of need this. And Jackson State also got to acknowledge that they made this deal. They knew what they were getting into. They knew what they were getting into. And I just think that he's also done a disservice at making the economics of football at these schools become very, it's almost like a very one-sided thing. And he's not able to explain the complexities of how the financial structure impacts his program. It's just, we ain't got this.
You ain't got enough money.
We ain't got enough money. Yeah, well, ain't got enough money.
Right. And people have been talking about, he did this out of his pocket, he did that out of his pocket. What else is he supposed to do? I'm like, well, first of all, he came in declaring this like a mission, not a job, a labor of love. Like, Deion Sanders, I don't expect you to think that you're about to survive off of your salary at Jackson State. It's like a side hustle money, damn near, right? So it's like, whatever. You're coming to help improve the profile and the program at the school. And part of them bringing you on as such a big name is the fact that you will bring that with you. My issue is had he come and said, you know, we're going to be here. I'm going to be here for a couple of years. We're going to see how this works. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. That's one thing. Cool. Julius, take half the coaching staff with you because everybody is. So I'm proud of the staff that they're going to get better pay, et cetera. That's great. However, my nigga, you came in as a complete outsider thinking that you were going to change the entire face of HBCU football. You clearly did no research. You clearly didn't actually know what the financials looked like. You clearly didn't actually know how this shit works. And then you got frustrated and fed up and went on 60 Minutes, which is an interview that your damn president of the school could never get in 100 fucking years, and complained about the money and the financials, like you didn't know you were going to a SWAC school.
And also, I just want to say, too, we haven't verified all of these claims. I've seen several people place claims about the things that he has donated. And I think there are verified things. Like, I know that he went to the Walton family, the Walmart folks, and he got a practice facility built, and he has done some great things. So I am not, I'm not making light of that. And in my opinion, he has made that job a better job. That's a better job now than it was when he got there. And that's really kind of the things that you want to ask of people, right? Like, leave this place in a better space than when you came in. I think he did that, but also the way he's doing it with kind of thumbing his nose on the way out.
Messaging. He has.
Did you see the clip when he was at the trophy ceremony?
Yeah.
He's like, come on, let's go.
And to me, that's more what you're seeing there is, in my opinion, is more in line of who he is.
Yes.
Right. Like, we've watched him, you know, berate his ex-wife on camera, you know, like unmercilessly. Right. Like, we've seen him talk about being the man, and there is a certain, all this swagger I got, and all of that shit is pomp and circumstance, because that's what he has made his mission in life, is that he is going to be the fixer of everyone. And anyone that is in need of prayer or guidance can come to him because he is almighty and kind of all knowing, and none of it feels fun. Right. And that's what I think. I think what you saw here is that why his son stayed, because none of that shit is fun.
Yeah.
No one wants to be beat upside the head every fucking day. And he was a spectacular athlete. Like, Deion Sanders.
I mean, we'll never see a Deion or a Bo again. Two sports pro athlete?
He wasn't even just a pro in baseball. Like, he was really good. Like, he was really good. He was a spectacular athlete. Like, by every metric, in any measure, I don't think you can name 20 people of the last, 40 years, 50 years that were better all around athletes than him. I just don't know that you can name him.
But
to me, I think that afforded him a lot of latitude from coaches, from programs, and it also afforded people to taking his opinion as some sort of truth and some sort of gospel. And listen, he did get some recruits in an HBCU that probably would have never entertained that. I do think the one thing I do want to say is I do need HBCU people to, and I feel like I could say this, I've written several very handsome checks to HBCUs. So I could talk a little bit of shit here, okay? Mm-hmm. And like, y'all got to stop that. If you don't agree with my opinion and you didn't graduate from an HBCU, then you can't say shit.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Because some of y'all was wilding. Like the vitriol and the anger and like the and this is before he showed his ass. Like, this was right when it was like breaking. It was like, if you ain't graduate, then you can't get no. So if you did 3 years at HBCU, you don't get to say nothing either. Like, what, like,
that was this nigga's being goofy, you know what I'm saying?
But my problem is that you got this engagement, and like I said I posted on Facebook, there are 11 other teams in SWAC that could use your support right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got Grambling, you got FAMU, Southern, you got Prairie View, Southern, like there's Texas a bunch Southern. Of other programs. Mm-hmm. And I go out and I buy merch.
Right.
Y'all see, you know what I'm saying? Like, go out, do those things. And are you guys taking your kids to visits at these HBCUs?
Right.
Because I've been to the visits, okay? Right. And it'd be a little bit of niggas there. Like, I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
Yeah,
I mean from parents. I've seen programs take kids to HBCU visits. Like, it'll be a busload of kids that'll come in. I've seen that.
That's hella fun.
I did not see a lot of parents one-on-one. Right. Oh, yeah, listen, that bus pulled up to Howard, and Justin was ready to sign on the dotted line.
Hell yeah. Get a 15-passenger van.
Yeah, so
kidding?
I just want people to recognize that they can engage with HBCUs. You can support them in many ways. I'm sure that they have many programs. I think also it's a very lazy thing for people to be like, where's the alumni? Where are the boosters?
Agreed.
Like that's just a lazy take. And to also pretend like you think
usually there's only one or two really massive boosters at these programs. It's not like there's a gang of them. There's like a handful like that provide a shit ton of money. It's and all HBCUs do all day, every day is fundraise. That's all mm-hmm. they do.
Yeah, and I think, and that's my point, right? Like, it's just very lazy to think that, you know, the folks that are boosting over in Alabama or Miami or wherever these, you know, really, really big programs are. And the last thing I'll say is I'm going to need HBCUs to figure out some sort of financial way to participate in the modern world for sports and athletics. People would love to watch this. People would love to even see the halftime show with the bands.
Yeah,
if there was a streaming, if there was a streaming platform, I'd absolutely you know, pay for, you know, $5.99, $4.99 so I can get these games. And I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure that there's some local affiliates that would air some games. But it's gonna take a little bit of us to move away from some tradition, maybe. Maybe you might have to realign. Maybe you need to get some of the bigger schools that have bigger endowments to invest in the infrastructure. And, you know, like I've always said, the Howards, the Morehouse, the Spelman, they're good. They are okay, my guy. Mm-hmm. No one's missing meals at those institutions. And they need to also help to figure it out because, yeah, you know, if y'all ain't putting the team out there, you can also help, you know, maybe figure out a business side to helping these HBCUs to get on television and earn income because that's all this shit is.
There is HBCU college game day, but I don't think it's all schools. And it used to be ESPN used to have a partnership with
No, them. they used to have it on BET.
Yeah, BET.
Actually,
ESPN had a partnership with them for like a half something.
It's on ESPNU.
ESPNU.
Yes.
But now I think it's on like Cleo or something like that. It's on one of the black
networks.
It's on one of the black networks that isn't on everybody's
Aspire.
Provider.
It's on Aspire.
Yeah, Aspire.
on the Zeus network.
The Black People's Network.
But what I was gonna say, Sean,
BPN.
is as a person who did not graduate from HBCU, I totally agree with you that you don't necessarily have to be HBCU alum or have ever gone to an HBCU to engage in conversations about HBCUs. But what I will say, I said before you got on, is that with this conversation in particular, you do have to acknowledge the factor of this being about leaving a black college and going to a white university. That is a difference maker than just a coach going from one school to another school from one
program.
That's fair.
I'm just a big proponent of people are who they are and their history is their history. And if someone is consistently showing you that the white man's ice is colder, then I just don't know that you can really, I mean, are you really upset or should you have just understood, I got 3 years.
I'm disappointed more than mad. Yeah. I'm just disappointed.
That's what I think the difference is. I think that there's a difference between disappointed and mad, but I think that also that gets lost in social media and also I think it gets lost in how people write because there was some writer who wrote an article, I think it was for Deadspin, and he just went on and compared him to a pimp. And I was like, if he's the pimp in this situation, then who are the hoes exactly, right? Like, who, you know, like what are we really doing here? And is it, there was a lot of meat and potatoes to dig into this Deion thing. And I think that that guy was pretty lazy in that take because people didn't like Deion from the beginning. And I think the people that didn't like him are still like that. I think that the people who are fans are still fans, and it kind of is what it is.
Look, yeah, nobody's gonna change.
There's a Deion jersey. There's a Deion jersey downstairs in my man cave, right? Like, so I absolutely. He's one of the most exciting athletes that I remember seeing. So yes,
I'm a fan in that. Downstairs in my house.
And I'm a fan in that sense. I also can acknowledge that to me, I was good until I saw I was good with what was going on until I saw how he left Jackson State, literally. Like like not giving that press corps that has been down there a press conference, knowing what that could have meant to them, knowing what that would have been to them. And I just think it's a real shitty thing to do. It's like you just fucking left without even saying goodbye. You didn't even say, yo, I appreciate the help. You know, Jackson State is a great city. Like, to me, even giving an exit speech that would encourage another person to come in on a high caliber. You know, this is a great job. You guys got some great kids here. You know, this city could use this.
And also to encourage the kids he's leaving behind. They still got to play a fucking Andy wants to coach the bowl game. I would be like, nigga, fuck you. I'm not playing.
Yeah. Oh, I'd have told. He'd had to eat a dick or something. I'd have been like, nah, I'm good. And no, I'm just saying because that's how he behaved. I don't know that I know that I would have been able to, you know, go out there. But again, we put these kids in these very awkward positions where they don't get to have an opinion.
Yeah, they don't have a say.
You need film. Those kids are trying to play on Sunday. Nobody plays on Saturday that don't think they can play on Sunday. There are very few people that do, right? So you need all the film you can get, and you want to play against the best competition. So listen, we'll see how it is. You know, God bless. You know, these kids are going to be out there in Boulder. In Colorado in the winter.
Yep.
We're talking about a dude from Florida who spent most of his time in Texas.
Oh, he ain't going to be able to breathe.
And that school only has 2.3% black population. So all that fly Jackson State shit is dead.
Yeah, not going to let Deion Sanders crip walk on their field.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's done. And, you know, let me know how it work out. and this is your very last thing I'm gonna say. Colorado's next. If he could take that one win program to 5 or 6 wins
he's
in 2 years, he's gone. Somebody else is calling. Somebody else is calling, and he's out. My University of Miami, Florida State, any one of them schools down there gives him a call. He's gone. The next thing smoking. And the game is the game. He is who he is. I don't know why people are just kind of bent out of shape. It's just like, yo, so-and-so robbed me. It's like, nigga, he's a stick-up kid. He's been robbing people for 30 years.
The one thing I want to say, and this is definitely like a black college cultural thing, is one thing about Jackson State, you know, Uncle Earl and Aunt Emma, they could get in that car and drive over there and watch that game.
Go
over there and watch that game. Even if it was a couple states over from Alabama, we'll drive on over Mississippi for the night and watch a game. They're not driving. They can't get to Colorado.
Right.
So that's the whole thing, like people's families being at the game and homecoming and the big game against Southern and that shit is dead. They're going to be looking across the line and it's going to be them big country fed boys from UCLA, USC, Stanford, and they're going to be coming to kill. I just don't, like Sean said, I don't feel like it's going to work out as well as y'all think it is, but we're going
to
see.
It might take a little longer for them to get them 5 or 6 wins because them big boys are going to be on the sideline on fucking oxygen. I don't think you understand what it's like to breathe out this bitch.
It's also just not the same energy. Like, Deion doesn't come from the Pac-12. It's not the same conference he comes from. It's not, because like SWAC has the same fan energy, at least, you know, sometimes. But it's not, I'm not going to say that it's not exciting and engaged fans, but it's still not going to be what he's used to. So if he was talking about SWAC because it's not what he's used to, this shit ain't going to be what he's used to either.
Ain't going to be no hot band.
Yeah.
So we're going to see. We're going to see. But we're going to wrap it up on that note.
Everything. Yep.
We're going to wrap it up on that note. 2 weeks before Christmas. We'll see y'all.
In my mind.
Watch some Christmas movies.
Watch y'all be free.
And calm down in these parking lots. God damn.
And on these roads. Traffic accidents seem to be. Yeah, I don't have any stats, but traffic accidents seem to be way up.
Slow down.
Oh, last thing I got to say. Peace to my new barber. You know, it's that new barber.
Oh, you found one.
Yeah, found one out this way. DT, who's a LGBT community gal. She hooked me up nice. So peace
to DT. Yeah, we see you got the golden lower back looking good.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but I needed a real, you know, I needed a cut, so she got me right. We had a good talk yesterday. So
I was about to say, I know you about to be bringing some conversations back that you had with you.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna get that going. We're gonna get that going. Yeah, we'll get that going.
Well, I'm so glad you didn't have to use the QR code on the front of that.
Oh my God, them niggas. Yeah, I never seen nothing like that before in my life.
That was like a barber from Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I only come on appointments only. Like, nigga, what?
So that's whatever. Wild.
Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna wrap it up on that note, and we see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.